We're reading in the article Three Prayers, article number 877 by Rabash. It's from volume 3 on page 2044. Article is Three Prayers. In Hebrew, it's in the Passover booklet, page 280. It is written in the Shabbat evening songs, the Lord God of Israel, the love of the innocent or whole, the Lord God of Israel, everlasting salvation. We should understand the importance of innocence or wholeness. On the face of it, it seems as though one who has less of an intellect can be more innocent, and one who has more intellect and more ability to criticize cannot be naive or innocent. It follows that the quality of naivety was given to those with little knowledge. But Baal HaSulam interpreted the first one sees only flaws, mumim. And then he makes of it tamim, meaning naive or wholeness. The explanation is that when one sees only flaws in the world, in individuals and in the collective, this is called mumim, flaws, and it is called left line. Afterwards, he accepts everything above reason. This is called tamim, whole. It follows that one who has more knowledge has more flaws, as it is written, he who adds knowledge adds pain, and he should accept all this above reason. It follows that his innocence or wholeness is built on greater knowledge. Thus, his wholeness is greater than one whose wholeness is built on smaller knowledge. It says, the Lord God of Israel, the love of the innocent, or the whole, the Lord God of Israel, everlasting salvation. This means that in order for a person to have the strength to overcome once he sees a world full of flaws, he cannot help himself, and he needs salvation from above to be able to go into wholeness above reason. This is the Lord God of Israel, everlasting salvation, meaning to bring all the flaws into the above reason, which is called whole. And this is the meaning of olamim, everlasting, made of two words, ol, which is burden, and it comes from the word ail, entering, meaning to insert a flaw into the whole. By this we can understand the words of the Zohar. It is written there that the prayer of the poor precedes the rest of the prayers. This is the meaning of prayer for the poor when he envelopes. Envelopes from the words and the enveloped for lavan, which means delayed. That is, it delays all other prayers in the world. He asks, why does the prayer for the poor delays all the prayers? It is because the poor is brokenhearted, and the poor always quarrels with the Creator, and the Creator listens and hears His words. We should understand why the Creator hears the prayer of the poor before all other prayers. He says that the reason is that the Creator is near to the brokenhearted. We should understand the importance of the brokenhearted to whom the Creator is close. In the Zohar, Malchut is called poor, for she has nothing of her own except that which her husband gives her. This matter is explained in several places in the Sulam, that there are two states in Malchut. Once it is explained according to the first state, that she is called poor, because she has no chasadim, no mercy. And elsewhere, he calls there in the Sulam, the second state of Malchut, that she is called poor because she must receive from Zeranpin, her husband. We should interpret that the kingdom of heaven, when one wants to take upon himself that all his actions will be for the sake of the Creator, not in order to receive reward, at that time Malchut is called poor because she has nothing to give to the person working for her. Normally, when someone works for someone, he receives a reward for his work. But when a person works for the Creator, not in order to receive reward for his labor, it follows that he is working for a poor one. Meaning, it's like working for a poor person who has nothing with which to pay him. According to the above, we should interpret a prayer for the poor. A person prays to the Creator that his prayer will be for the poor. That is, he prays that everything he does will be for the sake of the Creator. Meaning he wants to work in order not to receive reward. This work means that he wants to work lishma, for her sake. That is, even though he has not achieved it, he still wants to. This is the first discernment in the work of the Creator. Before one achieves the state of lishma, he works not for the sake of the Creator, but for his own sake. By this we will understand why the prayer for the poor is accepted before all other prayers, to the point that the Zohar says that it delays all the prayers, that it precedes the prayer for David and the prayer for Moses. We should ask, why it should delay the rest of the prayers? Is it possible to answer everyone at the same time, but they must be answered one at a time? We can understand this if we learn all these three prayers in one person. Normally, we should discern three prayers. One, a prayer for Moses, who is the quality of the Torah. Two, a prayer for David, who is Malchut. That is, he has been rewarded with the quality of Malchut, but he prays that the kingdom of heaven, with which he has been rewarded, will not depart from him. Three, a prayer for the poor, when he wants to begin to emerge from self-love and come into the work in order to bestow and not receive any reward, but only for the Creator. Then the body begins to resist this work because it is against his nature. At that time, he comes to a state where he sees that he is bare and destitute. That is, he has no support from which to receive fuel for the work. In other words, when he thought that he should engage in the work lishma, he was fine. He had Torah and prayer and good deeds, and he had possessions to enjoy. He looked at people with whom he came in contact and felt that he was far above them. But now that he has begun to walk on the path that leads to lishma, he feels that he is more deprived than all his contemporaries, since they have vitality. He feels them just as he had felt himself before he began to change his way. At that time, he feels that the world has grown dark on him. As it is written, "Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done harm to this people, and you did not save your people at all." And the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a mighty hand I will send him, and with a mighty hand he will drive them out of his land." We should interpret that before Moses came to the people of Israel as a messenger of the Creator, that he wants to lead them out of Egypt, the people of Israel engaged in work of the Creator, but were enslaved to Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is the will to receive that is found in the created beings, which cannot do anything if it's not for its own benefit. This is the ruler in all the created beings and afflicts all those who want to emerge from its dominion, meaning to work for the sake of others. Moses came to the people of Israel and told them that the Creator wants to deliver them from under the governance of Pharaoh, to lead each and every one of the people of Israel from under Pharaoh's control, which is found within each and every one. Accordingly, each one understands that Moses' mission is that we must begin the work Lishma for her sake. So it makes sense that now, if we begin to walk on the path of truth, meaning for the sake of the Creator, where each one has the aim to bestow while doing the work of the Creator, now each one will begin to work harder and with great enthusiasm, and the passion will be so intense that it will be difficult for him to retire for even a minute to think about corporeal needs too, which are utterly necessary, since now he is working only for the sake of the Creator. And although he has not begun this work, to feel that he is working for the sake of the Creator, since he wants to walk on the path of truth, the body will certainly agree to make more concessions for him than it did while he was not working on the path of truth, meaning Lishma. But in reality, it's the opposite. Precisely when he wants to walk on the way of Lishma, the body begins to resist. At that time, it begins with all its arguments, meaning the arguments of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, which is the argument, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? And the argument of the wicked, who says, what is this work for you? At that time, the work becomes heavy, and each time he needs more reinforcement. We should interpret this matter in the above-mentioned verse, ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done harm to this people. That is, when Moses came to speak in your name, meaning that they should work for the sake of the Creator, he has done harm to this people. They become worse. In other words, before Moses came to say that we must work only for the sake of the Creator, everyone served the Creator and considered themselves righteous. They had the strength to work, and the fuel to know why they were working was clear to them. But after Moses came as an emissary of the Creator, then we must work for the sake of the Creator. They have become worse. Thus, accordingly, they would be better off not getting into the work of Lishma. To this came the answer, and the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a mighty hand he will send them. The answer was not that they did not tell the truth, but what I want from them is to feel the truth, that they are so far from the truth, meaning from working for the sake of the Creator. Then, when they have this kind of demand, that they cannot work Lishma, then you will see how I give you the strength to work for the sake of the Creator. I do not demand that you will be able to walk on the path of truth. All I need is for you to have a kli, a vessel to receive the abundance. Hence, when you begin to work in order to bestow, you will see that you are incapable of this work. And then I will give you what is called, with a mighty hand he will send them. As it is written, and I also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, that the Egyptians enslaved them, and I remembered my covenant, etc. And I will deliver you from under the afflictions of the Egyptian. It follows that once they have a kli to receive, I will give them the power required for it. Now we will explain what we began concerning the prayer of the poor, why this prayer delays all other prayers. Since we are speaking of one person in whom all these states unfold, it follows that the prayer of David cannot be accepted, as it is when he has already been rewarded with the kingdom of heaven, but he prays that the kingdom of heaven will not cease from him. One can pray for this after he already has the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who is still far from the kingdom of heaven, who is still under the rule of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, how can he be given so that this matter will not cease in him while he still has nothing? Hence, first the prayer of the poor is accepted, meaning that first he must be rewarded with the kingdom of heaven, called poor and meager. This is the first discernment, that a person must enter the work. Afterwards comes the next degree, which is the prayer for David, meaning that his kingdom of heaven will not cease. Then comes the third degree, which is a prayer for Moses, which is the Torah.
This is our problem, that we discover various states and we don't continue them, we don't extend them, because from each state we need to rise in prayer, in a request, in a demand, in a cry. Doesn't matter what. But we have to turn to the Creator, in a sense, from each and every state. And that's what we're not doing. Why? No, Yuda, why?
Rabash seems that it's automatic that a person discovers he can't, then he turns to the Creator.
No, where do you turn? I see on you that you can't, and you go to sleep. You enter despair, weakness. Gershon is a hero, but Neve is weak, he cries. Each one in his own style. Why don't we turn to the Creator?
Maybe because we don't know what a prayer is, how it's carried out, what this action, what is this address itself. It's not enough to give that he gives us the exertion and above reason and turning to the light that reforms. It's as if there's one more action that we should...
Only one action. Why don't we turn to him? It's a simple matter. A person will never turn to him. Never. Unless he will have friends next to him and they will be in different states. Not in a descent, in a fall, in despair, in helplessness, and so on. And then those friends will influence him with their support, and with their support in his state, it will arrange in him the correct plea to the Creator. Only in this way. Alone, a person will never turn to him. Good state, a bad state. You can say, thank you, what are you doing? But it's not a prayer. The true prayer has to be like a vessel, nine sefirot and malchut. He has to receive an impression from the nine friends. He has to connect to it his empty malchut, dark malchut, and in return he will have the correct plea. Is that clear or not?
It's not that clear, because
it's clear Is it clear that the plea to the Creator is the vessel? That the plea to the Creator is ten sfirot that have to be there, otherwise it's not. What do we have to do? Just to shout? We're not talking about that in the wisdom of Kabbalah. We're talking only about vessels, either ten sfirot of direct light or ten sfirot of reflected light, clothed in one another in some way, but it has to be havaya that is working in wholeness, either in reception or in bestowal or the combination of the two. But alone, a person cannot do it. When we say that it's a shame if a person prays on his own, if he prays for himself, we can't do it. The true prayer that the Creator will hear is only when he's invited, is included in a group. He receives from them the direction, the impression. They are holding him. And then he, with his deficiency, with the first nine from which he receives supports, discernments, and so on, then he turns to the Creator. Because how does he turn to the Creator? He can't turn to the Creator and say, I feel bad. What does he feel inside of him? Bad, that's it. Rather, when he's connected with them together, then his prayer is already not about the bad, because the Creator doesn't give bad. A Creator gives opportunity for connection with the friends and with him, with the Creator himself. So there cannot be a prayer except from within the public and for the public. Okay?
Now it's clear, because specifically from the vacant place, it's as if this place of the Creator disappears and a person becomes like a zero. And
that's the place of Arvut, specifically here. That if it exists, everything moves smoothly from that point. We connect together, we connect all sorts of discernments. It's not that we're saying you're this and you're that and I'm the Malchut. No. This is arranged in the integration, the Hitkalelut, automatically. The Creator that is turning to them and is inviting in them in every moment, in this special combination, various states, is already building it. Again, their plea. They only have to care about the integration, the hitkalelut. That, you know, it will be with, you know, surrender, subjugation, as Rabash writes. Please, sir. Let's hear that it's not good, it's not fine.
No, it's fine, it's fine. You were talking about the hitkalelut, the integration, and I don't understand the sentence he writes, that now we have to understand why the Creator hears the prayer of the poor before all other prayers. And the reason is because the Creator is close to the brokenhearted. What? You put all the brokenhearted in the same group to come closer to the Creator?
I wouldn't divide it into parts, into bodies. We're speaking this way so it will be easier for us, but you understand that we're not talking about biological bodies. Those are desires that are integrated and they participate together. What exactly are you asking?
What is the prayer of the brokenhearted in general? He says three prayers.
The heart breaks when I see that I'm unable to reach any spiritual action with my own powers, an action of bestowal. I can't. But I have no grasp in spirituality, when I cannot be connected to the friends. In short, falls into the degree of a beast, and even lower than that. And now, from within that state, he has to rise. If before that there is a mutual commitment in the group, where we work together, then it works on him. And then he feels himself that he's not alone. And there's not, it's not to do here with people. Rather, there's an integration of the desires, intentions, thoughts, exertions, and he's working from that. We're missing the feeling, the sensation of the common kli. So there's no me and I fell and I don't belong to anyone. No, there's a connection here. And this connection doesn't work on me specifically. I feel I'm disconnected and maybe I forgot about connection altogether. But this connection works on the friends and they save me, because a prisoner does not break himself free from prison. They are saving me. And when each one is saved, he becomes the tip, the malchut. He is the eye. He adds the deficiency to their efforts, the first nine. And then they have a vessel with which to turn to the Creator. What does it mean that they throw a rope to him and they pull him out of the river? What?
Connection. They're sending some connection to him.
They turn to the Creator. He can't turn to him by himself. They turn to the Creator for him. Each one prays for the friends. And then everyone is saved.
Meaning, we can say it this way. More than once I've felt I'm so down, I'm really in a big trouble. And what I should do is look for my guys and tell them about my troubles?
It's probably you're not in the previous contact with them.
Can't I pray for the Creator and then tell him?
During the descent? No.
There's no such thing?
No.
So what are the brokenhearted? Why does he hear only the brokenhearted?
You can't turn to the Creator from within the broken heart.
Why?
Because you're crying about yourself.
So when will I turn to him?
He doesn't hear it. You are crying out from within the broken heart. The heart is broken from what? That you can't connect with others?
No, because I got serious trouble. A building just fell on me. Who will save me?
The friends?
There's no one around.
Not you. If you're speaking about a spiritual matter, only the friends.
Meaning I have to turn to the friends, let's pray together?
You're working with them beforehand. You are signing a covenant, the deed of arvud, of mutual guarantee. It's not a written thing, you understand? These are spiritual discernments. And then when you fall, the Creator arranges for you to fall. You know, he knows how to do it. He does his work, you know, the work of the Creator, as we call it. We have to be ready for that in advance. It's very simple. If it's not happening, it's a sign that there's no arvut.
Meaning I should prepare in advance my connection with the friends and to take into account that I may get a blow.
Not might be. For sure it will be.
Okay. And then there's going to be arvut and then the blow won't be a blow, right?
No, there will be a blow.
There will be a blow? So how can I explain this?
You don't have to explain it.
I won't fall there.
You will fall.
So what?
What do you mean? You will feel yourself that you're on this tiny raft, you know, 3x4, and it's moving towards the Niagara Falls. You know, the waterfall, yeah. No, not the one in your bathroom, yeah? It's clear, this waterfall. And you're almost there. No.
And who's going to save me then? My friends will save me?
Yes.
How?
They will turn to the Creator. That's the meaning of throwing a rope to you. They are renewing their connection with you and with the Creator, and they pray for you. Because you can't save yourself. Only they can save you. You are bringing the broken point of Malchut, the broken heart. They bring the upper nine that have a connection with the Creator, and that's how they save you.
What do you mean they save me? What? That's what I don't understand. What do you mean save me?
You suddenly begin to feel that through the connection with them, you receive liveliness, and you specifically caused this ascent in the group. It's very felt. It's clear.
So basically, this is our whole spiritual work. What we should do?
That's it. But there is a covenant here, Avut, ten sfirot of the friends, the keeping all the Rabash advices. Everything is there. Then in the group, you're going through all those states before Egypt, Egypt, after Egypt, until the end of correction. But on the way, you have to discover all the kinds of breakage that existed in Adam HaRishon, correct them one by one.
Why does he divide here three prayers and all these? Why not one prayer? What's the deal here? It's written, but we don't understand what's written. Three prayers. Why isn't there one prayer?
Prayer to Moshe, to Moses, a prayer for the poor, a prayer for David.
Yeah, why does he divide it? What does it mean here? Well, in general, what does it mean?
I have to go through it again. If you want.
No, just one sentence. What's the meaning? Can you teach us the whole Torah on one, standing on one foot?
For the will to receive, for the screen, for the reflected light, for the connection with the Creator, for all the created beings to connect to Him. You have to add all those things. Then you have a complete picture. I'm also not concentrated today. What else is happening? Hadera?
Hadera?
Friends, today's daily task, every 10 scrutinizes during the day what is the prayer of the brokenhearted. Building a common prayer to the Creator and making sure you're passing it on to a different 10 until the Zohar lesson. Again, every 10 scrutinizes during the day what is the prayer for the brokenhearted. Building a common prayer to the Creator and making sure you passed it on to another 10 until the Zohar lesson. And the Zohar lesson, you're all invited to watch the Zohar lesson tonight at 6 p.m. Israel time on our website. And thank you to all our TV viewers. Have a good day. Okay, introductory evenings of the Wisdom of Kabbalah. We're all happy to invite you to come and meet us in various cities in Israel. For registration, please go into our website, kab.co.il or kab.tv, 1-700-509-209 by phone. And we have a convention in North America. We're inviting you all to come to our Congress in Newark, New Jersey, May 3rd through 6th. For details, 1.kabbalah.info, all as one. Now we're going to summarize the lesson. Each one will write a few sentences. We'll take 5 minutes for it.
יש תפילה של כוח שנוכל את הלב לפתוח עד שיקיץ האור וניתן לנפשנו דרור נמלא את כל הבורות שזה מכבר יבשו ממים ונצמח כמו אילן עם הברק בעיניים נעלה נעלה ביחד נעלה ניפול ונקום עד לקו הסיום נעלה ביחד נעלה שחפץ להתקרב ובתוכו להפסל מישהו אחר יש תפילה של דמעות שפותחות שערי שמיים וקושרות הקצוות עוד מעט נלמד לחיות נעלה